Thanks for downloading the NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast. This is episode 19.
Hit out, kick, mark, go!
Oh yeah! We're talking all things split this round, like bananas, wood, and our mate Maxi.
Welcome to the NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast. We're the traders, or two-thirds of them, Warnie. We've got Calvin here.
Coach of the team, Calvin Aitor.
And we are in the middle of the split round. It's one of those weeks that... I don't know. It's funny as a fantasy coach because we're sort of sitting
on
our hands.
Would you call it funny?
Well, it's something like funny. I don't know. Sitting on our hands a little bit at the moment. I know I've got a trade ready to go. I've got one to use this week. It's pretty much locked in the bag, which will be getting rid of Swanee and bringing in Rockcliffe.
But, oh, nice.
Yeah, that's a nice one. Yeah. But I'm sort of sitting on it because anything could happen as well. Like, we don't know what happens at team selection. I might just take the emergency I've got in my midfield or something like that. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Let's have a look at how our teams are going.
All right.
Do you want me to talk about mine first?
Yes.
Get all excited about that? Well, I'm going all right. I'm 728 points. I've had seven players go, so I'm averaging over that magic 100 point per player. And Roy as well, he's smashing it at the minute. And I reckon there's a fair bit of swagger for him up in far north Queensland at the minute. 533 he's on from his five players. So he's pretty happy with that.
I like your position better.
Well, points in the bank. Those extra couple of players that have got those tons, that's all right. But Calvinator.
Oh, look, I'll tell you what's going on.
You're struggling a little bit.
I am below 100 points a player. Well below 100 points a player.
Yeah, you are.
My pat me on the back, call me genius move in Zach Clark.
Oh, it looked all right at half time.
And I saw a few people tweet me going, oh, Calvin, you're an absolute genius. And I was...
He's on his 50. He was on track for the ton.
And I kept very tight-lipped because I didn't want to spark a huge war. But he still scored 70, which at the end of the day, for a mediocre ruck...
Well, considering old mate Ben Brown was laid out, you know, that's who could have been.
Yes, could have been disastrous. Yeah. So anyway, I've got a few points there. But the biggest regret, and if I had a negative through this week... Guess who it would go to, Warnie?
Well, I've had a look at your side. There's quite a few players that weren't so good, but it might have been that bloke that... my boy.
Hibbo!
He is my boy.
Hibbo. He had 27 or 28 points in the first quarter, and I was like, oh, geez, I'm glad I held on to him.
He's just on track to do his thing.
Oh, my goodness.
He had 16 touches, but only got four marks, so he didn't link up for all those plus sixes all the time we're used to seeing.
Do you rate him as highly... Now that you don't have him?
Yeah, of course I do. He's still, but I've got a massive smile on my face because I made the right call 3 weeks ago to trade him out. So
too right you did.
My negative three, if I was giving one for the first weekend, it's pretty hard because my team is averaging over 100 points per player. I'm pretty much a big deal. But maybe Luke Dalhouse? He had a 70. If I had the option to get rid of him... I would love to do that, but he's not the biggest problem in my side. I've still got Travis Cloak, who got a lifeline this week.
He has got a lifeline. Why don't you trade him this week?
Because I had to trade Sandy. And I've got to trade Swanee. If I can get Rockcliffe in my side...
You'd do that.
You'd be happy to wear a cloak sitting in your side for that. All right, what about something positive? Probably the biggest... Well, not the biggest score of the weekend... But the biggest popular score of the weekend would have been Stevie J, 145. And he was the most popular VC of the weekend, looking across the stats. Well, he definitely is.
But that's not the question on everyone's list.
No.
The question is, how do you get the VC score?
Well, there's a lot of people with a lot of questions about that that actually don't understand the basics of the loophole.
If you don't get it, don't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you don't get it... Don't tweet me, because I can't explain it any more than what I have.
I think you've put it out there as well as it could
be. Now, do you
be.
Just want to quickly go over what people need to do?
Okay. Oh, jeez.
To get that score, all you need to do is, you need to put someone on your ground who's going to score a zero.
So, it's definitely scoring a zero, not playing. And, I will just say, that has no chance to play.
No chance
to play. So, for example... I've got Zach O'Brien, who missed out last week. He hasn't played for a little while now in the Lions team. He's sitting there. He's a potential zero for me. I could put him on the ground. He did have 30 touches in the knee pool last weekend. I went back and had a look at those stats and go, is he any chance to actually get...
I've heard a ring and rumour that he is a chance. Named emergency people out there, do not do it.
Don't risk it, because Zach O'Brien, if he gets a game, he's probably wearing green and he might score you 20.
The issue is this. Can Rocky get 145?
I think, well, Roy's confident.
Roy, he, look, he can definitely get 135. You don't get sat at number one of Calvin Catons for no reason.
No, though, no, right? Exactly.
So is he capable of 145? Of course he is. But definitely, if you can and you want to take the VC score of 145, as we said earlier,
yes,
points in the pocket are worth way more. So it, what, and so Rocky comes out and gets 150, you actually score just a handful of points.
Mm.
You know, it's not worth it.
It's just not worth that risk.
But for me, I will not loophole this week.
You can't do it.
I can't do it. Yeah. The only way I can is probably through O'Brien, and I'm not that interested in doing that, to be honest. I don't like the chance that he could actually, he could potentially play.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to play a straight bat with this one and go with Rocky.
I'm in exactly the same position, and I'm going to play the straight bat as well. Rocky should be all right. And realistically, 130-plus is on the cards for him. And it's not going to be, if you miss out on those 15 points, if he does score 130, well, it's not the end of the world. So it's not worth the risk that
and
is associated with it.
And let's forget that Jack McRae, last time he played Gold Coast, 168.
Wow, right. Yep.
That's what I'm predicting Rocky to get, 168.
160. Well, that's going to be...
There you go.
All those people that can't even loophole should just go with Rocky anyway. Now, going with the loophole questions here, V8, there's a lot of people
Is there more loophole questions?
Yeah, but these aren't just going, oh, I can't do it. These are ones that make you think a little bit. We're going to throw out our social media questions throughout the episode.
Right.
So here's our first one. Now, this is from Duncan Hill. Should I hold on to Dane Swan until next week so I can loop Stevie J already? It probably sounds like, no, just trade Swanee because of those points. He's worth that money, all that sort of stuff. As all my bench players have played. So he can't do the loophole. Still will result in playing Sam Mitchell. So if he goes and doesn't trade Swanee, he gets Sam Mitchell's score for it. So he wouldn't have got it anyway. So basically, hold Swanee, get Sam Mitchell's score, and then be able to take the Stevie J vice-captain loophole.
Okay.
Or should he just go and then trade Swanee for another premium and then just go with a Rocky or whoever?
Okay, Mr. I like to have a beer with Duncan.
Yes.
I think he keeps Swanee and takes a zero.
I know, it's a tough one. This is such a 50-50 one for me.
Sam Mitchell is a guaranteed over 100 score against the Swans.
Do you think so?
Yes, the Swans.
What about his past history? Because I've been looking into it.
Yes, I agree.
And it's about mid-70s.
But the Swans aren't like the Swans have been. The Swans are so more attacking than ever before. They give up so many points to midfielders.
And MCG probably makes a difference on that as
well. I am all over Mitchell this week.
Okay, so there, that's an interesting one. All right, now the other one that goes with the loophole questions here is Elliot Clare. He wants to take Stevie J's VC score, but I'm only able to do so if I trade out Swan using Parker, dual position, to the mids and bring in a non-playing player to get Shenton's emergency score. Is it worth taking? So the question is it worth taking Shenton's emergency score, which was 61, then to get in a non-player to do that? Is it worth doing?
I think that's a terrible decision.
It is, right.
I think it is. I don't think, you don't want a guy scoring 61. It's not that great. And realistically, at the end of the day, how much of a difference is it going to be from Rocky?
Yeah. And that's a good call.
The only way you're going to win a situation like that is Rocky, touch wood, he gets injured in the first minute.
Yeah.
Right? That's when you're going to score yourself over 100 points. But yeah, you just can't bank on it.
All right, good call, Calvin. All righty, Calvin, we are 5 games into the split round, and let's have a quick look at the games that we've seen so far. Friday Night Football, Carlton upset North Melbourne, and you like the game from one Cade Simpson.
10 marks, 28 touches, if you don't mind. A few people were really offloading him a few weeks back.
Ooh, yeah.
And you just can't with guys like that, because 120... He pats you on the back for keeping him around. A guy that I did like, though, was Todd Goldstein. He's really shown some promise in the last few weeks. 97 and 130 in his last two. Putting his hand up, dog.
He is.
He's putting his
hand
up.
He's had a few hundreds of late, and he is one of the informed ruckmen, I suppose. That's worth considering if you were looking for someone. If you held on to Sandy, for example, this week, and you did want to move him on for finals, he would be a great option to bring in. He was up against, though, Cameron Wood playing his first game. Now, his price is a bit expensive.
It is.
Just a touch under 300 grand or so. But God, I don't know. He came out all right from the game. He ended up having 26 hitouts, but got him up to 94 points. So not a bad option if you wanted to save some cash in the ruck.
But be ready for a lot less scores than that.
Oh, definitely. But I think he's going to be in there for the rest of the season for them.
Most possibly. Most possibly.
That's the thing. All right, so from that game, I guess not too much really to write home about. It was all pretty stock standard. Old Ben Brown, Calvin, your boy.
My old mate, Brownie.
DPP hero, but he was a late withdrawal from that, so unfortunately he didn't come in. Now, the next game, Saturday afternoon or evening in that twilight time slot, St Kilda.
That was ridiculous.
It was. They were absolutely nuts against the Dockers, and it was bloody surprising. When you have a look at their scoring, St Kilda, they knocked up 1954 points as a team, and that's okay, compared to Fremantle's 1331. So you can just see
600 more.
Isn't that just ridiculous in itself? That's one thing that came out of that. So, yeah, but the big score there, obviously Nick Riewoldt has bounced back after a fair few weeks out. He kicked four goals, 164 points. Did you know that that's his highest ever fantasy score?
Yes, I did, Dog. I'm an expert.
Oh, did you? You read my article, did you? That surprised me. Yeah, that's his best ever.
One of the amazing things out of this, though, is like St Kilda scored 10 players over 110 points.
Yeah.
That's unheard of. That's unheard of when you consider that Paul Duffield, 104, was Frio's highest. Look, it's amazing, but geez, Frio, next week, they're going to come out big time.
If you're feeling bad about like a Barlow or something just getting in the 90s and stuff like that as one of your scorers.
Can I give you something really quickly on Frio?
Yep.
We think it's going to be, you know, they'll storm home from here. In the next 3 weeks, they play the three hardest teams in a row to score fantasy points against.
Oh, that's interesting.
They play Geelong in later on, but they go Carlton, Geelong and Hawthorne, the three hardest teams to score on the next 3 weeks.
Maybe a bloke like Barlow we don't want for the finals. No, I don't think we could do it.
Let's not go stupid.
No, we won't. All right, moving into the next game. It was nearly an upset as well. But that was GWS and Geelong. They went down by 7 points in the end. But Stevie J, as we talked about off the top of the show there, 145. If you can take him as vice-captain, do it. The magic number is 120 that you should be taking. So 145 is well over that. Not worth risking a rocky score, but then again, as we said, not worth risking anything else going on there. Now, Joel Selwood,
is he
back?
Yes, he is. For those people who got him in,
yep,
you know, because he had absolutely bottomed out with price, they have been rewarded with 140, 121, 81's not great, but a 133 in his last four.
Nico tweeted, he said he scores massive 1 week, then he'll get an 80 the next. That's what he does sometimes along the way, but he's in a little bit of form at the moment. How do their draw look? Do you think they're going to be okay in these next few weeks during the finals?
Well, they've got North Melbourne next week. They've got a tough one against Frio and then Carlton Hawthorn. So they've actually got a pretty tough run. But the best news about it is they end with Brisbane.
Yeah, so big grand final.
Well, that's probably what you want.
Yeah, nice. All right, let's move along to the next game then, and that is the first one on Sunday. Port Adelaide, they only just got over the top of the Demons. That was only 3 points to them. It was for this boring weekend of football. A lot of players
are taking a week off early before the week off.
Right, okay. Yeah.
One guy who didn't know was Dom Tyson, who just went bang, thank you very much.
You shouldn't still have him.
You shouldn't.
No, but those people that might have had him on their bench, if you can be getting those scores from a guy that's going to sit on your pine as your emergency, that's a bloody awesome get.
Wingard was disappointing, only had 68. Your boy Kane Corns, Dog.
Former boy. Oh, I tell you what, I traded him out a few weeks ago, and every week he's done better than Ebert since.
So Robbie Gray's the real deal.
He is. He had that concussion last week. There was even doubts, I think, in Roy's rumour mill. He's what are they called? Like the opposition of him. They said that he might have been out.
Oh, of course they did.
Had a ton. Okay, so that's pretty good.
And
so,
for anyone who's playing Jared Pollock on the ground for his 32, you definitely should not have that.
No, that should be game over there. I'm throwing in the rucks as well.
Yes.
Our mate Lobby. 98.
Lobby.
Lobby. Whatever his name is. 35 hit outs, so that was good. But he's back to his tackling ways. He had 12 last week, 10 yep. this yep. week. Yep. So he is certainly up and about and should be in the mix for that, because I think Port Adelaide, I don't know, they've got some tough games coming up, like to actually even make the eight. I did a ladder predictor as well, and I saw that old Port Adelaide might struggle to get in there. Yep. But I don't know. He could be a certain option for your ruck lineup if you're looking for something a little bit different for who's got a bit of potential. And the last game there, Bombers! How about them? I'll tell you what, they were lucky to get the win because they were down most of the game. But Jake Carlisle.
I tell you what.
We had plenty of questions come through here. He went 163 last week. That was with 19 grabs.
Yeah.
He's done 165 this week thanks to his 8 goals. Is it worth even just considering him?
It's worth considering. And I got a couple of people last week tweet me and they go, hey, Cal, what about Carlisle? Worth bringing him in? And I said, nah, mate. Bit of a one-week wonder. Don't do it.
He's heading into this round at $357,000. His break-even is down to one because of that huge score last week. Obviously, that's going to be down. He's going to be under 400 grand. He should be anyway, I think. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah. But he should be stay under that. Is it worth for a little bit of a stepping stone along the way? He's got the Swans next round, around 19.
I can't do it because the weaker I get on him, I know what he's going to do.
And he's a defender forward, so you can get him either back or forward.
Well, you chuck him back because he could score 70 back down there and fit in with the rest of them.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Well, you know what, though? He could score 70 and near double the score of Hibbert.
For that price, though, he could potentially be a D7.
Possibly.
Or F7.
Yeah.
But then you're going to be sitting those sort of scores on your pine and they will be devastating.
I am still going to say no, but I'm happy to be proven wrong again.
Yeah, no, plenty of people have said that. Chad did let us know that that's 1.48 points per minute, which is smashing it.
And Rocky goes at about 1.1. Yeah, so there you go.
That's a massive thing. All those people that did ask that question, maybe ask us next week after the round. We'll see what he's got up to.
Oh, I find it interesting.
But,
these people,
it would make me nervous.
I had a lot of tweets this week. Calvin, I'm not listening to you. But you won't hear from him next week when he has 40.
Yeah, exactly. Or the week after. Exactly right. All right. And in that game as well, saw some pretty ordinary scores. Your mate Hibbo, Calvin. He's still my boy. He's still a brilliant player.
Just check how many tackles Hibbo had for me, dog.
Yeah, there's nothing in that column.
He had a zero.
Yes, that's a little bit disappointing.
Zero tackles. What is he, Grant Birchall?
But also adding to him, Brendan Goddard. Those people that held him through that suspension. Like, and I traded, and I'm a bit trigger happy, I think, with my trades. And normally I would have held that. But that's a disappointing comeback.
There's a guy
points.
That I'm getting a little bit trigger happy with at the moment, and he could be gone next week for me. Liberatore.
Yeah.
He is slowing down in the latter half of the year. Teams are now tagging him, makes it very difficult. But another one I reckon that a lot of people might have jumped on and were very disappointed with. He did get a little knock to the knee. 47 points though, David Zakharakis.
That
not
is
enough.
Huge.
A lot of people, when he got his DPP status, a lot of people were like, well, yeah, Kieran Jack. Yeah, get on him. Get on all these blokes.
Yep.
Which, like, I wish I did.
But there's a huge spanner in the works there, a bloke like that, because you would have banked that in.
Oh.
I'll tell you what, if he gets a score like that, he's going to drop a little bit in price.
Ching-ching!
Yeah, one man's trash. we'll throw out there, Jackson McRae, how about him? He looked bloody awesome once again. He ended up with 32 touches. I would like to give you his last 10 quarters of football, his tally of fantasy points.
Go for it.
366 in 10 quarters. His last three games, that's when he started as a sub in that game. It is amazing because he had that huge score last week, but he is a ball magnet and he will be a fantasy stud of the future. And I think you should start getting some graphics ready, Calvin.
Don't go there.
Ready for him to be in your top five in years to come. And
are you really?
And I tell you what, the way that he goes...
I agree.
This could be a little bit like Rory McIlroy. What's his name? Rory McIlroy's bloody parents. You hear about that. They had to put money on him when he was about 15 or something, that he'll win the Open by the time before he's 26.
Wow. Well, there you go.
This could be a bet like this. He will get pig status the time he's 26. What odds will you give me at Cowbet?
Oh, considering we've only given out one pig status in like the last 10 years, I'm going to say 2-1. No.
Now, it is a split round, and we're about to talk to one of our very favourite men in AFL. He split himself from the Collingwood Football Club, the Premiership captain, Nick Maxwell. Welcome to our podcast.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
Good, mate. Good, mate. Now, Maxie, it's absolutely devastated you've retired, but I wonder if you can remember your best fantasy game of all time and what did you score?
That's a good question.
I know, it's putting you on the spot.
Most stats, I think, was 29 against the Eagles.
It was, Maxie! 29 touches, 12 marks. How many points do you think you got on that day?
12 marks. Probably looking at 110.
121, in fact.
There we go.
That's your best.
Didn't
now,
that, didn't you that very often.
It was back in 2009 against the Eagles. That year, you actually averaged 76. That was your best year. Here's another question for you. What is your favourite ground to score at?
Good question.
You've been big there in your last four.
Would it be up in Sydney?
It is.
Yes, at ANZ Stadium.
Now, have you ever thought about maybe coming out of retirement and joining the Swans?
Yeah, I don't think I've got any room in their salary cap left.
No, they wouldn't. Yeah, you've had 3 scores over 90 in your last 4 games there.
That is premium defender type scores. Brilliant. All right, now, Maxie.
I should have moved up there. I've missed the boat.
Yeah, Buddy could throw you a few dollars out of his back pocket, I reckon. Now, you are a big fantasy coach. You love the game. But over the last couple of years, you've taken on Elite a little bit more. How's your league going this year?
Yeah, we love the Elite, mate. We've got 10 in our team, so there's 8 of them are players. And then we've got one of the staff members and my brother tagged along as well, so... we love it. We're always into each other and always trying to work up trades. It took until this year for the first ever team-to-team trade to take place.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, everyone was just like, they didn't want to get screwed over by someone else and then have to live with it. So,
who's winning at the moment? Who's on top of the ladder?
I'm on top. I'm on percentage in front of McCaffer, who won it last year.
All right.
And then I think, who's up there? I think Swanee could be third or fourth.
Yep.
With Adam Oxley, it's the top 4, so we're going to play finals this year. Last year we just played to whoever finished the highest, but this year we're going to make it the last 2 rounds will be finals, so we're looking forward to that.
And maybe chuck a couple of names at us. Maxie, who have you got in your team there, mate? Maybe your first pick?
My first pick was Fair Mitchell, and I don't have him anymore.
Ooh.
My mail was that it was going to take a while for him to come back, and I dropped a couple in a row, so I dumped him. So Mitchell, my second pick was Dangerfield as a forward. Okay. Mitchell was a back, Dangerfield as a forward. And then my most productive player I actually picked with my third pick, which was Rockcliffe, which I was surprised he was still there.
Jeez, he went late, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he's highest averaging player of the year, so he's been good. Now, who picked up Dane Beams in your league this year? Can you remember who that might have been?
Yeah, well, last year, so my brother's been a big fan of Beamsy for a long time, and he drafted him with about his fifth or sixth pick overall last year. And then he said, all right, if I get the chance, I'm getting him, and he took him with pick 4 this year. So, obviously, after last year, he held him for the whole 16 weeks and he didn't play.
Oh, wow.
Dedicated.
So, there was true commitment there, but... Yeah, we ended up, he had him this year and he's done pretty well for him.
Yeah, well, he started off the season pretty well. In Classic, obviously, he was quite cheap because he didn't play so many games last year. Averaged 117 over his first 5 games, then about 118, I think it was, during the middle. But his last 5, he's averaging about 90. What's going on with Beamsy at the moment?
I actually think it's because he's missed a few goals, to be honest. Usually he never misses. He'd get one snapping out of a pack and he'd get his couple every week, but... he's actually shanked a couple of them this time, which has been unusual for him. But he's also, because of that high standard he's set throughout the first half of the year, he's actually copped the tag a lot more. He wasn't tagged early on in the season. It was sort of more Pendles, and if there was a second one, it was Swanee. But we've actually seen Curnow went to him a couple of weeks ago. It's Carlton. Someone went to him last week as well. Who did we play last week? Yes, and then... I can't think who it was. Yeah, so no, probably the last month, yeah, he's been tagged a lot more than what he has in for the rest of the year.
The biggest question we've got, is he injured? Is he playing absolutely injured not at the moment?
No, not at all. He's fine. I think also, coming back from missing a whole year, probably started to feel it a little bit, just because he's been playing for such a high standard. So I think the week off will do him good, but I've held on to him in all my AFL fantasy teams, and I'll make sure that you hold on to him because he's a quality player.
Yeah, now, big trade this week for a lot of us is getting rid of Swanee because he's out for about 4 weeks or so. How's he travelling heading into these last few weeks? Because obviously he'll miss probably the first final or two by the sounds of it. Is he worth jumping back on for those last couple of weeks? Or maybe do we just think about getting the pig back in next year, ready to go as a bit of a cheaper player?
I wouldn't give up on him just yet. I think he's going to miss between probably three, maybe four. So along that period, I think that leaves us with two or three before the end of the season, but which is your finals campaign. He could be someone who's a bit different for you as well compared to other teams. You might be jumping off him now. So he's a pretty determined bloke, and I know that he's been a bit frustrated. He hasn't been able to play to his usual stand because he's carried a few injuries, but none of them were enough to miss training sessions or to miss games. He just sort of put up with little niggles. Then obviously once he had this plantar fascia against Essendon, that sort of changed that, and it was something that he couldn't put up with anymore. So, I wouldn't jump off him just yet, but I think he could be a really good unique one for people who are having a look going into finals campaign. If they come up against a team that they've got a good team, a good-looking lineup,
and intimidating name.
Yeah, exactly. Now, he might be just that unique one that really might throw it out.
Now, Maxie, I'm looking forward to 2015 when I get to reset my team. Now, Swanee is going to be as cheap as chips. Has he been playing forward because of these injuries, or is that where we're going to expect him to be a fair bit next year even?
I think he was playing forward because of the injuries, because he couldn't have his same production like in the middle of the field that he has had the whole time. So I think that's why he sort of spent a bit more time forward. Coupled with that is the guys who have come through, like Beams, Taylor Adams, a few of those guys who have played around the ball who we didn't have there last year.
Yep.
So I think that all combined. I mean, going into next year, look, I reckon he was probably close when the AFL fantasy guys were looking at dual position players.
Yes, he was. Very close.
Yeah, particularly the second half of the year. So I think he might be a good one that hopefully they play as a forward and we can see the best of him again. But awesome. As I said, he's a proud player, and I'm sure he'll be back again next year.
I get the impression he doesn't like playing forward. Is that right?
I just think he's happy to go with the flow wherever it is, but I think it's probably hard when you've been the best fantasy player for about 6 years.
Yeah.
Everyone sort of expected him to play to that standard, and as I never had this issue in my career, but Beansy, Swanee and Pendlebury, they were always saying, as soon as you don't play a good game, they get a million tweets. Oh, you stuffed up me green team, you'll be captain, you've wrecked it, and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, well, that's one good thing, you're not copping those ones. Well, Maxie, thanks very much for your time, mate. At the end of the year, we'll be inducting, I think, a retiring player into the AFL Fantasy Hall of Fame. I think that Coxie might have you after he announced his retirement today, so you might have to wait another year or two before that comes through. Thanks very much for your time. You've been such a champion for us. We love the fact that you love all of your fantasy football so much, and you pass on your insights for us, which is fantastic. But congratulations on an awesome career, and well done on being a premiership captain and such a great bloke.
Thanks very much, boys. Now, don't forget about me. I'll still have opinions next year, so don't just think I'm not an AFL player that you're just going to throw me on the scrap.
Well,
just leave me phone number. Make sure you're still in contact, all
right? Roy said to me, he said, geez, hope Maxie still gets his inside mail.
I'll get plenty.
Awesome, mate. Well, congratulations. A 58.4 fantasy average for your career. Hold your head up high.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, cheers, Maxie. Mate.
Rightio, the siren has blown on another podcast, Calvinator. We've got a couple of match day games to make sure that you enter this weekend. It is, who we got, Calvin? We've got Eagles and Richmond on Friday night. So that's over in WA. So that lockout is at 8:40 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure that you're switched on for that time, because that's when the full lockout will be also for normal fantasy classic.
Oh, then everyone can relax and everyone can stop asking me about the loophole. In the last game there, we've got Hawthorn and City. Make sure you have Josh Kennedy up against his old and his favourite team.
Loves playing him.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a pretty crazy stat, isn't it?
Here comes a 140.
Wow. All right. Trades this week. What have you got any left,
Calvin? I've got one left.
You do too.
I'm going to get out Hibbard. No, you can't do that, people. You can't do it.
Don't say that, because someone will actually think, why can't I trade Hibbard? Calvin could trade Hibbard.
No, he's getting looked after. Never gets looked after. I am going. I've been holding off on my last trade because it will be Suckling out.
Oh, okay.
Over Birchall. There's some controversy. Wow. Going Suckling out, and I'll be bringing Sam Mitchell in, who I'm expecting to be good against Sydney.
For me, mine is to get rid of Swanee, and I'll be bringing in Tom Rockliffe finally into my team, which I'm pretty excited about.
Well, you're not getting one Rockliffe, are you?
Well, I'm getting two this week.
Yeah.
Normally, I have the rule that you can't bring in a player and make him captain in the first week. But
you can.
I'm going to do this week. Of course you are. All good. Yep. So don't forget to get your trades. If you've got any happening now that you still got in the bank ready to go for this round, get them done by Friday night's lockout, because that's when full lockout will be in. They are reversible, which is really good that you can play around with those and see what you can work out. But other than that, Calvin, we've got four more games.
Yep.
I'm hoping that I can continue to average over 100 points per player. I'm sure that you're excited to try to get about an 80 average per player.
I just cannot believe. Hibbert, what?